Imbolc, Bealtaine, Lunasa, and Samhain were the ancient Celtic festivals, and these were dressed in Christian clothes and incorporated into the new Christian religion. So Imbolc became St. Bridget's Day, Bealtaine was dedicated to Mary, the mother of Jesus, Lunasa became Reek Sunday, and Samhain the Feast of All Souls and All Saints. In recent years, the festivals have become even more popular. The new popularity is for the original pagan forms of the celebrations. And this change, I think, can be attributed somewhat to the fall off in adherence to traditional Christian forms, and to the fact that the festivals, however they were celebrated in the midst of history, developed from observing the world of nature. And nature is intimately connected to our lived experiences and to the festivals, so they touch our souls. Like this morning, everyone is in good humor because of the sun is shining, and we all notice the beautiful, lovely new green leaves on the trees in the way in this morning. And that's because the sun is shining. Imbolc is enjoying a newfound popularity with the new February bank holiday. Samhain is almost as popular as Christmas now. Lunasa, I think, is for the hardy individuals who want to show off their fitness by climbing Kirkpatrick. And last Wednesday was Bealtaine, or the first day of summer. And I think maybe it's the least celebrated of the four festivals. How the festivals are celebrated is interesting. And even in a short span of time, you can see how they've changed. My childhood memory of May Day is of church processions. School was delayed and we processed round the church and up the road a bit. A generation earlier, my elderly aunt recalled dancing around the maypole on May Day. Maypoles have largely disappeared by my time. How festivals are celebrated changes in even relatively short periods of time. So all we can do is make an educated guess at exactly how the pre-Christians celebrated any of these festivals. But that doesn't really mean that we shouldn't celebrate them, because when we are celebrating them, we're tailoring them not to what the pre-Christians needed, but to what we need and what speaks to us. The Irish translation of the word Bealtaine gives us a hint of the form of the festival. Bealtaine comes from Béilne Tine, which means mouth of the fire. So Bealtaine marked the end of winter and welcomed in summer. It was a declaration, winter is over. In many parts of the country, there's still a tradition of driving cattle between two smoking bonfires. And this was done when the cattle were going out to summer pastures. Another tradition was that hearth fires were extinguished and relit from a communal fire. And that was a visual representation of the Irish proverb, Arscoa Céile a Bhfoirne Daoine, which roughly means, together we thrive and survive. We depend on one another. We work best when we're in community. And usually these celebrations would have involved bonfires, some drinking, sports competitions, singing and dancing, and making offering to the gods. It's interesting how Celtic spirituality is also enjoying a real revival. And I think that may be explained by the fact that the religious traditions that survive even now in Ireland are very ancient. Because Irish Christianity was different from the Christianity of the Roman Church. The Irish Christian Church remained independent from Rome until the 12th century. The English Church submitted to Rome 500 years earlier, and submitting to Rome meant that you accepted a common liturgy and common ways of doing things. We had our independent ways of doing it until the 12th century. And it was this independent form of Christianity that brought Irish monks to many parts of Europe. It was this independent Christianity that was not based on power. It had nothing to do with empires. It was based on the gospel, and it was rooted in the world of nature. Irish Christianity was not centered on bishops and cathedrals, but in monasteries. And these monasteries were built in places of natural beauty. The Book of Kells is one of the most famous Christian books in the world. It's a copy of the four Gospels, the original text of the Christian faith. Not the commentaries, not the epistles written by later people, but by original concentrating on original Christianity. And the pages are beautifully decorated with flowers and animals. So it was this nature-rooted, authentic Christianity that made Ireland the land of saints and scholars. Was not the Roman Church type of religion. When the old festivals were Christianized, ancient customs were incorporated into the new order. So our customs that were incorporated into the new order only happened in the 12th century. And old traditions are more likely to survive in rural communities. I listened online to a piece by somebody from Wexford talking about Bealtaine traditions. And she said that right up into the 20th century, at Bealtaine, friars visited farms and blessed the water. This water was then sprinkled on the ground, and she said it was to protect the soil from the trans, T-R-A-N-S. She didn't explain what trans is, but it seems to be a parasite that attacked corn. But today there are no fires to bless the land, and we may smile at the idea of using blessed water to control pests, or even sneer at their superstitious natures. Older, simpler, most superstitious methods did, however, have some positive side effects. If you think of somebody having a fire to bless the water that was put on the land, that made this land sacred for the people. It encouraged a reverence for nature and the land and everything on it. It promoted gratitude. And it was a communal event, so it bonded people together and to the natural world in a very holistic way. And it encouraged community. Obviously, modern insecticides do a much more effective role in controlling trans and other pests. But chemical sprays don't differentiate between harmful pests and useful ones. They upset the balance in nature, one that has developed over thousands of years. And the consequences of this is that nature has become depleted of its biodiversity. You know, the blessed water wasn't going to kill off the other insects, any insects properly, but it wasn't going to destroy nature. We humans are the most adaptable and creative creatures on the planet. But our great feeling is that we do live in a state of hubris. We actually think that we control the natural world and that we should control the natural world. But we don't and we shouldn't. Our mistaken sense of control means we no longer look to one another for support. We're all expected to look after our own patch. So many people live isolated from other people and from the natural world. And we all know that loneliness is the great epidemic of our time. And a very stark statistic, 52% of Americans say they feel lonely. And 57% of them eat all their meals alone. No wonder loneliness is so prevalent. As farmers put their trust in pesticide and artificial fertilizers, we put our trust in pharmaceuticals to heal the spirit, instead of looking to one another. One of the most beloved and famous of the Christian saints is Francis of Assisi. He is remembered for his love of nature and of every living creature, and that he was such a joyful person. He had a joyful nature. He wasn't a miserable old saint. The ancient faiths knew that there were many paths to enlightenment, not just one, there were many. And Francis found his path to enlightenment by immersing himself in the world of nature. He observed it, respected it, and found his joy in the natural world. He didn't try to mold it or control it like we do. Because we think of nature as a resource to be exploited, and in this way we are destroying our world. We are foolish enough to believe that we don't depend on nature, that the destruction of nature ultimately will mean our own destruction. It's not that long ago that scientists first began to warn us of global warming. And they said, you know, within 100 years, this is going to happen. So I certainly tended to put that it wasn't going to be my problem. And we ignored their warnings because it wasn't going to affect us. And suddenly now we find ourselves experiencing the effects of global warming. We are living through changed weather patterns. The prolonged rain and windy weather has flooded the land, is badly affected insect numbers. We know that harvests have been delayed in being planted. In the past few years, there has been effort made to plant flowers in strips for pollinators. And I have to say, last year, at the beginning of summer, I noticed a real increase in hoverflies and bees and wasps and so on. And I thought, you know, we're starting to get the idea we need to look after nature. And then July came, of course. This year, for the first time since he began keeping bees 15 years ago, when he opened the hives in June, he said, this is going to be a bumper crop this year. It was full; they were full of honey. And then the rains came. And of course, the bees couldn't get out to work. And the effect on the bees has been absolutely horrendous. And this has really brought it home to me. Last year, Paul had four different lots of bees in four locations. There were 10 hives in all. This year, and each hive, last year, our honey harvest in 2022, we got 234 jars of honey. Ergo then, we used to bring honey in to sell here at Christmas and cake sales and all of that. Last year, we got 31 jars of honey from all the hives. We did look after the bees. We did leave them honey for the winter. But of the 10 hives, only 2 have survived the winter. So it's an 80% mortality rate. And it's not that there's less bees in the hives. They have died out. And one of those hives was very special because it was a feral hive that he got. And we know that this hive had survived for 40 years in the wild. And then the building was being sold, so we took the bees out of it. But it was an Irish bee in this colony. And we know it was Irish bee because we did have it DNA tested. And it had terrific Irish DNA. Those bees were designed to survive Irish winters. They did not survive last year. And every hive, empty of bees, still had food in it. It wasn't that they starved to death. It was just that they were so unable to fly. They were unable to reproduce. They just died out and became disease prone. Just now, our apple tree is in bloom. And the blossoms have lingered longer than usual this year. The reason they linger is because when a blossom is fertilized, it falls off the tree, it's done its job, it doesn't need to do anything else, and it just disappears. So when we had bees, blossom time with any plant was much shorter than usual. But there are so few pollinators in our garden that our tree is still waiting for pollinators to come. One of the lovely things I enjoyed about gardening is in the summer just to sit in the garden and listen to the buzz of insects. For me, that was the song of summer. There are no insects. I can bemoan the fact that I'm deprived of one of my favourite sounds. But what pollinators are there to pollinate crops? What are swallows going to feed their young with if they arrive from Africa? And this is climate change in action. And it is the result of human activity. So it's beyond time for us to live by those old mantras: reduce, reuse, recycle. Reduce our footprint. Be stingy with the amount of carbon you use. Don't put on the heat. Wrap up in a blanket if you're just sitting there. Another thing we can refrain from doing is don't put lighting in your garden because insects need to go to sleep at night. Some come out, but some like to sleep at night. Tread lightly on the earth. Don't leave your electrical things on standby. They're using up power. Leave your car behind, not every time, but some of the time. One of the things we noticed, it was Tony Brady who told me that just turn off everything that you have on standby. And we started doing that, and I found it awkward for a few days. Now it's part of just normal behavior. But we got our electricity bill and it told us we had used 32 less units of electricity over 2 months. Now that is not going to save the world. But if you multiply that by 6 electricity bills in the year and then by about 3 million for the 3 million homes in Ireland, it will make a difference. And it doesn't cost us anything. Nurture the world of nature, even if it's a few plants on the balcony, and spend time in nature. That is one of the great restoring powers for the human soul. And listen to whatever song of summer you manage to tune into. Amen.